Which one?
The last version you had?
Oh yeah, okay. Our papers.
Right. So let me see the comments I have. Okay. So one thing here I was thinking is that one thing we said is that it's important not only to keep in Flash the anonymous pages, but also
file system.
The file system, which is the page cache pages, right? Which I think is correct. Most of the page cache pages, I mean, the page cache pages occupy most of the memory.
Depending on the version.
Right. Yeah. I'm thinking about a desktop or something. Like that. Yeah, sure. So, you know, I was trying to think like a reviewer, and one question is that this looks a little complicated to do, right? So why don't we use the Flash as a for only the page cache? I don't know if that is easier to implement or anything, but
I mean, use the Flash as a virtual memory and also page cache.
Right. I guess it's and that's what I put here is similar to CFS and L2ARC, right?
Mm-hmm.
That they use the Flash to hold blocks. I don't know if it's pages or block. Yeah. To hold blocks from the disk in the Flash. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the operating system will still use memory.
Right.
For the page cache in DRAM.
Right.
Okay, so you're suggesting is an alternate optimization by using an additional level of caching in the Flash?
No, I don't know. I'm not suggesting anything. I'm just you know, trying to come up with questions the viewer can make, right? So
compare against ZFS.
For instance, CFS with L2ARC, right? And probably, yeah, and not only an experimental comparison, but also probably something like, you know, analytical comparison, saying, okay, you have to work to something like this. I don't know, well, we don't have the background or related work yet, but probably the related work will address this question.
So we do have a large related work section at the end.
Oh, okay. I thought it wasn't ready.
It's not completely ready yet, but
okay.
Most of the related work is in there, but probably
okay.
We need to add the L2ARC architecture also.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay. So this is something I was talking to Ricardo, the venues.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like because we have Eurosys and ISCA coming,
mm-hmm.
the problem of submitting to ISCA is that if we get rejected, then we will miss the annual technical conference.
Mm.
While if we submit to Eurosys, then
we can still submit.
We can still submit to annual technical conference.
Mm.
The bad thing, well, I don't know how bad it is, but the acceptance notification of Eurosys is January
5. It's after the Usenext technical.
It's after?
I don't know, that's what, the Eurosys?
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, it's before the Usenext technical.
Yeah, but it's like 2 days before. Right?
Sure, but I guess we'll probably still continue to work on this if we are not ready
right.
throughout
Absolutely.
The, you know.
Yeah.
The two or 3 days that will just allow us to fix any superficial comments.
Right. The problem is that I was thinking, because the ATC, the submission deadline is January 9th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was thinking it was 10. Anyway, I need to check that again. And after that, we have four APIs.
Mm-hmm. So about this L2 ARC stuff,
sure.
What is your thought?
One comment I have here, we're thinking about the problem, and one comment I have, something that we address that L2ARC don't, is the fact is the application memories, for instance, the let's say the anonymous memories, right, like stack or heap, and that could be important in some memory intensive applications, which is I don't know if it's exactly the target we have in mind for our system, but for instance, if we have something like a matrix multiplication, the matrix multiplication problem that is in some sense is memory intensive because you're using plenty of memory. In this case, I guess our system will yeah, the target is different, so probably still L2ARC will be same. Yeah, I don't know exactly how to compare this.
No, I think that's one good reason that.
Yeah, but the thing is that in this case, I mean, L2ARC, there is, although we have, I mean, we could handle the memory intensive application, but the problem is that L2ARC is not intended to do that. L2ARC is just for disk, right?
L2ARC is just for this. So I think the reviewer's comment would be, what about just using simple virtual memory
mm-hmm.
in combination with L2ARC, right? Right. So use...
Okay, so not doing something like use L2ARC, but for all the memory, rather than just the disk. That's what you're saying?
No. Well, that's it. For the whole the memory is what we are doing, right?
Right.
But what I'm saying is that existing virtual memory, you can, let's say, allocate swap on the flash, and the remaining flash you can use with L2ARC.
Right.
Something in that direction will address the comment that you were.
Yeah, it will address. Also, I guess our system will be better because we are targeting flash. We're doing allocation and replacement and so on.
Yeah, so there are some new techniques that we propose, and we can also claim that with L2ARC you need a strict partitioning between
right.
anonymous and file system pages in the flash.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to, maybe you can do it dynamically also, but it becomes more complex because you have two different subsystems that are operating and cooperatively managing power. It's one is the file system and then the virtual memory. And in our case, we can argue that it's more simple design in some respects. And that allows more flexibility in managing the flash.
Right.
Because one system have all the control of the data.
Okay, makes sense.
Yeah, but I would encourage you to think on this direction more. I think that's a very important comment that you bring up.
Mm-hmm.
What about L2ARC and virtual memory on the swap?
Right. Should we briefly... Okay, this question should be briefly address NOR versus NAND flash here. So we're thinking that probably we don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
Or shouldn't be some kind of... No, it's not... Well, that's one question I have. I'm not sure if it's well established at this point. But if it's not, then it's probably... should be probably in some background section.
Yeah, so I just took out the background because I realized that there is, you know, first of all, there's not too much to talk about in the background section.
Okay.
And second, then it will delay the contributions even more.
Okay, I see.
Some reviewer may,
yeah,
you know,
I mean,
may get annoyed because of that.
Okay. And one thing is that about the FTL,
mm-hmm.
Explain anywhere what the FTL is.
Uh-huh. Okay. So that's, I guess that's easy. Really?
Yeah, I didn't see an explanation of what FTL is. Maybe because now we don't have a background, so it should be either an introduction or motivation.
Okay.
So, let me see what else. I'll come up here. Well, small comp. Alright. Okay, I think I'll show how speed to rent it here, so I think this is also. Oh, okay. But you mentioned here that the operating system was also talking about non-FTL fields, right? So that the operating system is also becomes complex because now we need to implement FTL-like operations to SQL escalation, word leveling, and bad block handling. So my comment here is that there is a driver in the MTD stack that solves most of these problems already that we can probably reuse if we're going to implement something like this. I don't remember the name, though.
UBFS or something.
UBFS. No. Actually, it's not. UBFS is on top of that. I think it's UB or UB Leave or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. So, yeah, I mean, go ahead and, you know, you can make changes directly in the document.
Okay.
So you can add those in.
Right. Oh, this, I moved this here. Just make.
Okay, so you updated the figure?
Yeah. Logical. Oh. Here we talk about logical erase block size, but there is no formal definition, so or an explanation of what logical.
Maybe we need to just refer to a paper. I guess there is a paper that we can refer to. Maybe that will make it easier than us going into it.
Yeah, I don't know any paper that talks about logical block size of Flash. At least I cannot recall anyway.
There was one paper, but maybe it was just a paper that we were reviewing and not.
Yes, exactly. There was one paper that we were reviewing. That I don't know if it's made it or not. That's one of the mascot papers, I think. What about Gordon? I don't remember if Gordon mentioned something.
Maybe you can do some investigation on that and see if we can find a reference. Otherwise, we will have to do some explaining.
And this paragraph was really hard to understand.
What is that paragraph about?
This was the, let me see, this paragraph over how do we separate hot and cold data in the case of page planning, logging with page planning. So,
by doing multiple padding operations
simultaneously,
multiple segments.
Multiple segments. So, when we do multiple segments, the idea is that though all those segments have the same coldness, let's say. So we compact them into place and we make free space. Sorry?
Yeah, that's sort of the general idea. So this not this this paragraph is not clear enough to explain that.
Actually, I read it several times, and I didn't understand quite well exactly what was talking about.
I think I already revised it once because you, I remember you said that last time it was not.
Okay, it was not clear.
Not clear.
Let me read it again. So what I can do is to see how to make it more clear.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead and revise it if you want.
Yeah. The other thing is that this is, well, I can do that as well. This is important. So it's S and T done in primary and secondary.
Yeah, okay.
Such cluster called it. Oh, okay. We need to. Okay. Right. So, here, I guess, my comment here was that we need to discuss this because I think I have something in mind differently. When instead of skipping candidate segments by including an authorization, use more accurate cost benefit mechanism to allocate by candidates as in the case of the policy. Costs lesser than a threshold are skipped. Are skipped. So, in this, with this algorithm, what I have in mind is to select the segment.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not about skipping, it's just selecting right away the segment with...
Remember that we are talking about a clock modification.
Right.
So clock by default goes in a...
Exactly, that's the problem. What I have in mind is not exactly a clock.
What you have in mind is probably this guy here.
Yeah, but this guy doesn't have... Yeah, I know what you mean.
Uh-huh.
But this guy doesn't have padding.
No, these are all independent of logging or padding. They're for both. Cleaning and padding.
Oh, I see. Okay, so what you're saying is that we can implement this with logging and cleaning.
With
padding and cleaning.
Cleaning and padding. Yeah, so that's the idea of this section, selecting cleaning / padding, and then I sort of describe how you can do either cleaning or padding.
I don't know why, but
it's easier for you to implement also, because then you implement the selection separately and cleaning and padding and use the same.
Yeah, that makes sense. So, yeah, actually, for some reason, I was thinking of padding, clock with padding, and the other guys with cleaning, but it makes sense that we use all of them, right, for interchangeably. Okay. I think the rest was okay. Yeah, I didn't read the related work. Okay, so I'll do some changes then. Yeah, so that's about the paper. The other thing is that I have been reading about the new hardware and how to get traces.
Mm-hmm.
So it turns out that there is a paper called, look at here.
So maybe it was like a little camera.
Remember? The dropping MRC.
Yes.
I don't know if you have read that paper.
I think I did. Only superficially.
Right. Well, the thing is that this paper, they obtained traces to their simulation of L2ME. So it turns out that the way they get the traces is as Ricardo was getting the traces. With a power six and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the same way. Right. So they mentioned some limitations of the Optum. That I understand very well. That says that you cannot get the address continuously in order to capture a trace, something I don't understand. Because it seems, you know, from the manual, it seems like you can get the traces.
Hmm.
But
they
sure.
say there is some bug in the afterround.
No, it's not a bug. I think it's a design problem, according to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they compare, they not only mention Opteron, but they mention Power 4 and Intel Itanium 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so I was talking to Ricardo, and one thing he suggested is that probably we can use the Power 6 machine to get traces. But, you know, I was discussing with him how we can do that with the capabilities, you know. So, you know, I was discussing, and the thing is that the idea is that you have these counters, and you can set a number of, I mean, for each event you have a counter. Right, so L to me, right? So if you can set a limit for that counter, saying 5. So that means, what that means is that after you have 5 L to me, then interruption is triggered,
mm-hmm.
right? And that is when you can
retrieve those 5 L2 messages.
Then retrieve the last one address
if you make that 0, then
if you make
you get
that
all
1.
If you make that 1, then you get all.
Exactly. Right. You make that 1 or you make that 0. Well, Ricardo told me it was 1, and it makes sense, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what, I don't know exactly what 0 means. Anyway, so the thing is that he has the L to MIS, meaning that you have a
read operation
on memory,
mm-hmm.
right? But my question was, how do you observe writes to memory? I don't know exactly how it works. I'm guessing that it's vision, right? Or write through. He doesn't know how that works either, so I don't know exactly. And the other problem is with the prefetching of the instructions. So it turns out that he doesn't have any information in Power 6 of the prefetching of instructions. So even with the Power 6, you know, it's hard to get. Also,
see, the Rapid MRC paper only cared about the loads, right?
Mm. No, I don't know, because they haven't. I only read the part of the trace.
I haven't read what exactly they are doing.
I think the miss rate curve. The miss rate curve.
Yeah, it's to miss rate
yeah.
curve.
So misses are only when you read. When you write, there is no misses, I guess. Or can you have misses during write operations?
Actually, Ricardo told me that you can. Some architectures allow miss in the write. Something like the CPU does some write, some store, and the cache system loads the memory or you know, the align from memory to the cache and then overwrite that line. I'm guessing it's some kind of merge operation or something
mm-hmm.
like that. If you're working on the line grant, I think you do some smaller size operation. Right. So, well, the good thing is that it seems like the new options we have solve all these problems. We can get the prefetching,
mm-hmm.
The prefetching events, And the other thing is that we can get all the loads and stores. And I think that's most of the memory accesses. There are other things we discussed, but like...
what about instruction versus data? In even that is available? Instruction cache versus data cache?
There are some things, some instruction things and some data things, but I think it's not all available. There is also TLB needs. Yeah, but it's not, I think there are some things that you have available today for data, and there are other things that you have available for instructions, but you have available the whole thing for both. Right. So, yeah, so I guess the thing is that for Optimum, all this is implemented in Opera 5 already, so it's a matter of reading the Opera 5 manual, see how it works.
So that's
and that's what I'm planning to do. So the thing, I think
maybe we should have Ricardo do this while you work on your the rest of it.
You mean in another?
I mean because you're working on the simulator and the.
I
how far you reached in that direction.
Yeah, the simulator I implement almost all the simulator, at least for one specific, instantiation, let's say.
Okay.
Like, I implement some specific replacement algorithm, I think for LRU, and I implement the allocation that was cleaning with was cost benefit, but that cost benefit was erasure aware. Right. So yeah. So that's specific. That's the specific implementation I have. Right now. I guess I have to implement the rest of the things.
So yeah, that's what I meant when
I said
that maybe we can use Ricardo's help on this, on the Opera 5 stuff, and he's already familiar to some extent with the performance counters.
Right.
If that's what he was doing over the summer.
Okay, that sounds good. Yeah.
Okay, so he's not here, and we're creating work for him. I hope it is acceptable to him.
Yeah, actually, we were discussing that yesterday, and I think he's willing to do that, so it's fine. Yeah, so I can talk to him and letting him know that.
Okay. Because we have what 2-3 weeks at this point, and
yeah, we don't have much.
Yeah, and so we should, try to distribute the work carefully. I think the writing of the paper at this point, I don't know how I can improve. So
yeah, I think the writing is okay. I guess.
And you can make those corrections that you have today yourself, I think.
Yeah.
Those are straightforward.
Yeah.
I mean, the related work might need a little bit of polishing once we have some experiments in place.
Right,
and I mean one thing which we could possibly compare against is L2 work with swap based virtual memory. Right, I mean one thing is that the swap based virtual memory is not built for flash.
Flash, right?
So we can certainly show what the improvements are in relation to that.
Right.
And that would change our discussion in the related work related to that.
Yeah, so, okay, so I will think about what configuration can be used in OpenSolaris, I guess. I guess one problem I see, though, is how are we going to compare both things, right? Because it seems like we install a machine with OpenSolaris, we set up the machine with the configuration I come up, but then what metrics are we using to compare both, right? Because we cannot use same metrics.
Mm.
We have the same information in both. Okay.
But we could perhaps, can we simulate ZFS and virtual memory, regular virtual memory? That could be hard.
Okay, what we can do. Well, I guess the allocation of Open Solaris, the swap allocation is easy to implement. It's just a bitmap. The thing I'm not sure about is the L2 arc, how to fit L2 arc in the simulation.
Hmm.
I can.
Let's think about this in
yeah.
the background.
Okay.
I think it's not critical at this point. And the other things which we have to cover before we get there.
Right. Okay. So then what we're doing is...
So talk to Ricardo and find out if he's okay to do what we want him to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that he has some experience with this already, so he
mm-hmm.
might be the best person to actually do it.
Mm-hmm.
And we can maybe talk about this briefly during the after the paper club.
Okay, makes sense. Yeah, it would be at 5.
No, well, 5 o'clock. I have a class, so it has to be before 5.
Okay.
Or after 6:15 if you guys
okay.
are around.
Okay.
All right, Louis. Thanks.